Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
We got Bert Show listener Cindy on. She has just come into a big bonus from work, and she and her husband are disagreeing on what that money should be used for, and she's coming to us for advice. Hey, Cindy, welcome to the Bert Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good. First, congrats on the bonus, lady.
Thank you. I am so proud of myself.
Which is probably why you want to spend it on yourself and not
exactly
on something else. Okay, so go ahead and lay out, like, tell us about the bonus and tell us about what you want to spend it on, and but what your husband is wanting you to spend it on.
Okay, so I recently earned this $5,000 bonus at work.
Nice.
That's a nice moment.
Don't hate me. So this, like, obviously is amazing. I feel like I deserve to spend it on me because obviously this wasn't just handed to me. Like, I worked my butt off for it. Like, over the past few months, I've been putting in extra hours, taking additional projects, like, stepping into a leadership role on this, like, major client deal. I have spent, like, countless late nights and weekends making sure everything went smoothly, dealing with last-minute changes, you know, putting out fires. Like, it's been exhausting. I gave it my all, and in the end, like, my hard work paid off with this, you know, obviously well-earned bonus. Okay, and so now that I finally have this extra money, I want to treat myself, specifically, to a luxury spa weekend and a designer handbag.
Designer handbag. Real smooth.
Those things aren't cheap, especially if you're going with the Everfull from Louis Vuitton. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
That was oddly specific.
Go ahead.
Okay, so, I mean, like, I see it as a way, like, obviously I should be able to unwind for all my effort. Like, you know, this isn't, like, my regular income at all. It's extra money. Like, I've earned it through extra work. Like, I should, you know, be able to get, like, a bag I've wanted for, like, you know, years. Like, my dream handbag. But, like, my husband has a different idea. He thinks the money should go towards replacing our HVAC unit.
What? All right.
I mean, to be fair, it's old. Like, it's unreliable. Like, you know, he thinks, you know, the bonus should go towards something that benefits both of us in the long run, not just me. But, like, this was my accomplishment, and I should be able to, like, enjoy something guilt-free, right? Like, I, like, literally have my computer up right now. Like, I'm looking at the spa that I want to go to. I'm looking at my handbag. Like, I want you to weigh in and help me decide. Like,
all right, Abby, are you spending that $5,000 on yourself, or are you splurging for the brand new HVAC?
This is coming at a weirdly specific time because, you know, I'm in the market to maybe buy a home. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm looking at all of, like, the risks and the potential costs that could come up. And the HVAC is one of my biggest fears. Like, every time I walk in, I'm like, how old's that HVAC? When was the roof replaced? Because, like, you know, mama's not rolling in it. And honestly, I want to be on your side, girlfriend. Cindy, I want you to go on that spa retreat. I want you to get that Louis Vuitton Neverfull, or maybe you save for another bag, maybe a Chanel one day. I'm getting excited for
you. YSL.
A YSL bag. Maybe you get a pair of shoes to go with them, too. But listen, girl.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I'm too pragmatic to give you that advice. The potential maybe future homeowner in me is saying, you got to do what's right for your house, because if you spend $5,000 on a Louis Vuitton and a spa weekend, when that HVAC breaks, you are going to be kicking yourself every time you take that purse out. You're going to be looking at your purse going, why the heck did I, why did I, this, it wasn't worth it.
All right, Bert?
So everybody has a different currency, right? And if I saw my wife walk in with a $5,000 pair of shoes, it would absolutely drive me crazy. Drive me crazy. However, this is your accomplishment. You are the one that earned this. So I think there's got to be some kind of halfway point here. I am a big believer in rewarding yourself throughout life for things that you're doing well. And clearly that's what's happening here. So there's got to be some kind of halfway for both of you guys.
Mo, is there a halfway, or how are you spending the money?
I don't think you can cut that designer bag in half.
It's not going to hold a lot when you do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do understand the practicality of your husband. Normally I would be on that side, but as a man who has seen my lady light up a time or two from getting her a bag, it's your accomplishment, it's your money, it's your bonus. If that's what's going to make you happier in your life, then I say go for it.
I mean, Cindy, you heard my reaction, so you know where my loyalty lies, and that's with the Louis Vuitton and the spa weekend. All right, but we're going to give you a minute, think about it, and then when we come back, we're going to get your answer on what you're spending the money on, okay?
Okay, appreciate it.
All right, hang tight.
The Bert Show.
Cindy just snagged herself a $5,000 bonus at work.
Woo!
Now what does she spend the money on? Abby, get us caught up to speed, please.
So Cindy just got this $5,000 bonus, and she's in a little bit of a dilemma because, you know, she's got a husband, and she got to take him into consideration, too. So she calls us up, and she's like, listen, I want to spend this $5,000 on a spa weekend and, you know, maybe a nice handbag. I've been dreaming about a Louis Vuitton Neverfull, or maybe, you know, a Tory Burch bag, or maybe a couple of Kate Spade bags. I'm getting carried away here thinking about all the handbags I want to buy. And her husband's like, you know, our HVAC for this house that I own, that's going to cost a lot of money. So why not spend it on that instead of all these frivolous things and put it into something that's actually going to be worthwhile for our entire family?
I realize as I'm listening to this whole scenario play out, I am having PTSD because way back in the day, my ex-wife brought in some Louis Vuittons. Louis Vuitton, is that how you say it?
Christian Louboutins. Those are the red Christian bottom Louboutin shoes. These is red bottom shoes.
And back then, I didn't know anything about the name, but I did know that the red bottom meant very, very expensive, right? Mm-hmm. So she pulls into the house with not one, but two pairs of these, and I am like livid, right? We haven't talked about it. Here I am busting my ass every single day, although that, I got to be honest with you, my ex-wife was helping with the business at all. I was probably entitled, whatever, but it wasn't my currency to pay that kind of money for these shoes. So she puts them on and they don't even fit. Her toes were like, what's the word I'm looking for? They were like talons going over the side of
curling?
The shoes. Yeah, they were curling over the side of the shoes. And I'm like, there is absolutely no way that you should be spending that kind of money on those when they don't even fit right. So she put those things on and she used them for about 2 months and then gave them to my sister-in-law.
All those expensive shoes y'all buy, I feel like you can't even walk in them. Like they can't walk, Bert. My lady has the most difficult time walking in those shoes, and she wants to buy them every time.
Dude, it was clear. It was like me putting on like flip flops for a 4-year-old.
All right, so Cindy, we all weighed in. You were sitting there. You have your designer handbag pulled up on your computer. You have your luxury spa retreat pulled up to book. And then in the back of your head, you have your husband saying, HVAC.
HVAC.
All right, girl, what are you going to do with the $5,000 that you earned? It's your bonus.
Yes. I was like struggling for a little bit because I was just like, I don't want to feel guilty down the line that I didn't, you know, help us when I had the chance with like, you know, something around the house. And like, I don't know, a slight moral dilemma for a moment. But, I mean, I got that handbag, and I'm going to get that spa retreat.
Okay.
Remember, Chanel needs to be kept in a temperature-controlled environment. Yeah. So, just think about that.
You got to make yourself happy, like, when you can. Like, you know, like, life's short. Like, I want to enjoy it. And I want to enjoy, you know, all my hard work. So.
Yeah, life is short and marriage is shorter.
and I appreciate
divorce
you.
Is long.
I appreciate you selling it as if it was really a tough decision, too. That was very well done.
All right, when are you going to be letting the hubby know what you ended up spending the money on?
I guess we'll have that conversation tonight, maybe.
Maybe I'll cook dinner. What is the best way to, I don't want to say break it to your husband, but to let him know that you have decided to spend your $5,000 on a spa retreat and handbag?
I don't know what, but it better be cheap.
Yeah. Let me be as PC as I can here, knowing kids are listening. The best way to tell your husband this is right before...
I think we got it.
Yeah, we got
okay.
it. We got it.
Yep. He's done.
I think we got it.
Before he's done.
The Burt Show.
So I'm on the road this morning and have to bail and come on back to Atlanta in a couple of minutes to get ready for Burt's big adventure today. But before I take off, I have a bone to pick with me, but also maybe Cassie. All right, so... You know how they say never assume, you should always get the facts, but...
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
I have a feeling, I want to circle back to something that happened last week on the show, that Cassie and you guys have been guilty of being too respectful. And I don't like it. Last week, we were talking about Valentine's Day cards. And Cassie and I got into a heated discussion on the show, how I felt like words were words. Doesn't matter if I am printing out the words in my love card and placing them in the card and then just writing in handwriting, hey, love you. But the words that I am sharing were printed off. Cassie feels very strongly that it is more romantic and means more when it is handwritten, correctly?
Yep.
Do I have that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's still,
right. So,
yeah, meaningful either way, but more meaningful handwritten.
So Cassie, and I feel like words are words. What does it matter if it's written out or if it's printed? So we had this heated discussion. Excuse me.
It was funny that it did get so heated.
It did. I was so cranky last week, and I got to be honest with you. Part of that was because I've been online too much, and I've learned that lesson.
Spend more time writing letters, and then you'll have to spend more time.
Right. Well, here was the debate, writing a letter. To me, writing a letter is also typing it out, but Cassie was using she was using literally handwriting it, right? Mm-hmm. So we get into this heated debate, and I was the one that was like, hey, let's put a poll online and see how the results come out, right? So Valentine's Day rolls around, and we never circled back to it. Now, Kristen does the schedule, so I didn't know if it was just, hey, let's not circle back to this. She had forgotten to put it on the schedule, or I took such a beating on this that you guys were being too respectful and didn't circle back to it. So I am here to say, Amanda said, my girlfriend had said also that she had checked out the poll when we first put it up, and it was like 93% to 7 with people siding with Cassie. So in my head, I thought you guys didn't want to come back here and go, Bert, you were so incredibly wrong, and the comments were so bad, we didn't even want to circle back to it. But sometime over the weekend, I'm like, I wonder if I got beat so bad that they didn't bring it up because they were trying to be nice to me, and that's not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
So what has happened?
I just forgot to put it on the schedule.
Oh. Okay.
I didn't feel like getting into a fight on air.
So what were the results?
Yeah.
Do we have the results?
We do. From the official BurtShow.com poll, which is what Rebecca set up and where she directed everyone. The question was, they're both romantic, but is a handwritten card more meaningful than a typed one with the same message? So we wanted to even the playing field, right? And the options were, yes, handwritten is more meaningful. No, it's the content that counts. Typing is heartfelt. And out of those two, 71% said handwritten is more meaningful.
Ooh. Okay, debate over.
Debate over.
And it's not so much even the 71% that really influenced me. It's the one person in my house, Amanda, who felt very strongly about it. So I have pivoted that opinion.
Have you? Look at that.
And from this point forward, it may be different.
See, we need to normalize. We need to normalize getting new information, learning new information, and evolving. How about that, Bert Weiss? You going to be a handwriter now?
I am gracefully taking the L. You were right, and I was wrong.
However, I did send you something. Apparently, bad handwriting could be attributed to ADHD, so I told you just to lay on that.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'll blame it on the ADHD that I haven't diagnosed with yet.
I'm not lazy. I'm just mentally ill.
There you go. See? That's what we all should be screaming from the rooftop.
All right. I just wanted you. I wanted to give you the win if you indeed win, and you did. So now it's over, and you were right, and I was wrong.
I think we all win when we tell each other we love each other.
Oh. You got to write it, though.
But you win more.
The Bert Show.
All right, so Abby, you're pretty sure that you're having a one-sided emotional affair with a married man right now.
Yeah, I'm 95% sure there's a man who thinks that we're engaging in some kind of rendezvous in a couple of months, because when I was in my hometown of Jacksonville/St. Augustine, Florida over the weekend, a man pretty much cornered me into having a date with him, even though he was wearing a wedding ring and talked about his wife the entire time. I went down to Jacksonville with a good friend of mine because there was a live podcast recording that we were going to go see. So we're like, you know what? We'll make a whole weekend out of it. It's Valentine's Day weekend. We'll go stay with my parents and we'll hang out by the pool and we'll go walk around downtown St. Augustine. It'll just be an absolute blast. So we are on our merry little way. We're bopping around downtown St. Augustine. We've got some cocktails. We're gabbing. We're gossiping. And I pull her into this restaurant that opened up a couple of years ago that I love. It's called River and Fort. Very cute. Very quintessential Florida. And I sit us down at the bar because I'm like, you know, we'll just have a couple of bevs and then we need to go down to the amphitheater, which is where the podcast recording is taking place. So while we're sitting there and we're talking and we're gabbing, a man sits down next to me. And normally, like, that's kind of a fun thing because I'm a single lady. So I'm like, maybe there will be some kind of fun interaction happening. And of course, that's pretty much exactly what happens. I sit down and this guy starts talking to me. And it's funny, Mo, because you had a story about this a couple of weeks ago where it's like, if someone strikes up a conversation with you at the bar, you can immediately think that they're flirting with you. Mm-hmm. And immediately the second this man started talking to me, I was like, oh my God, he thinks I'm cute and he wants to talk to me. And I was like somewhat interested. He's a little bit older than me. He did kind of have like a crazy look in his eyes where I was like, there's something a little off with this man, but I'll entertain it because I'm vain and I love for my ego to get gassed up. So we start talking and all of a sudden the tone kind of starts to shift to be a little bit more flirty. I'm like, oh, he's like really going for it. And then out of nowhere, he goes, oh yeah, and my wife says, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's just setting the tone here. He's letting me know that he's married. This is not a flirtatious interaction. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then he starts saying things that start to really feel like he's trying to make something happen. So he goes, so are you single? Like what, you know, do you like to go out with men? Like, are you into guys from Chicago? He's from Chicago. He's like, would you maybe be into a guy from like Chicago? And I'm like, aren't you from Chicago? And he goes, yeah, I'm from Chicago. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, I'm into single guys from Chicago. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm married. And like, I wouldn't mess up my entire life for this. And I was like, yeah, I'm not worth it. Trust me. It'd be the worst 4.5 minutes of your life. And then he pulls up his phone and there's this beautiful aesthetic family photo. It's him and his wife and his son. And he goes, look, this is my family. Like, I wouldn't mess anything up for them. And I was like, okay, glad to hear that. And so then he goes, should we share a steak? Should we like, let's get a bottle of wine and let's share a steak. And I'm like, I'm good. And he goes, no, I'm going to get the tomahawk. And like, are you a red drinker? Let's drink a red. And I'm like, okay, fine. Like, this man's going to pay for a tomahawk steak. I'm not going to say no.
Free meat.
Free married meat was not what I was looking for, Kristen. And when they start bringing out the steak and he asks me like what sides I want and the more questions he's asking, I'm like, I think this man is like cosplaying as my boyfriend right now. Just like the questions that he's asking, he's like, so like, what do you look for in a guy? Like, how much should he make? And I'm like,
I'm looking at him. I'm like, does it matter?
Why does he care?
He's like, well, I'm going to set you up with someone. I'm like, sir, you're like 40 years old. Your peers are not the guys that I'm dating. And it just gets to the point where I'm looking at my friend who's sitting next to me feeling very uncomfortable because she's married. She wants nothing to do with the situation. We both feel very morally wrong about this. And we finally, we both look at each other. We grab our full glasses of wine that he had paid for. We down it. We look at him. We go, sayonara, cheater. And we get out of there and we head on to our podcast recording. But yeah, this man got my information. He said he wants to come down and take me out in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
And I feel very uncomfortable about this. So, yeah.
Did you not get to try the steak?
No, the steak was really good.
Okay.
and I got the lobster mac and cheese, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Make it worth your while.
The Burt Show.
There's some new fun dating events happening around Atlanta. Abby, I know you've been to the In the Wild dating events before, right?
Yeah, I've been to two of them. I went to the one that was on Halloween because I love a costume party, love a theme. Me and my friend scouted out the local Atlantans while we were there. And then I recently went to one that was at Painted Park, which is in Inman Park. It's this new bar that's been opening up or that just opened up. And that was more of an intentional chit-chat event where you would go off into different rooms and you would talk to people that were looking for the same thing. And I think what she's doing is a really cool thing and getting people out of the apps and talking to people in person.
Now, did you happen to run into intern Sadie at the most recent event?
I did not because I was actually out of town, so I wasn't able to go.
Oh, okay. So you were at the most recent one. Yeah. And how did it go for you?
It was something. It was
it was an event.
It was an event. Very, very well planned. Like, it was really cute, really well thought out. It was on Valentine's Day, so I figured why not spend the day of love with hundreds of strangers. So
looking for love themselves.
Right.
Makes sense.
And I think I just got like a bad first look because as soon as I walk in, and I hope he's not a listener, but as soon as I walk in, there's a man dressed as a mime, first of all. Like, I'm talking striped shirt, suspenders, white gloves, beret, face paint, like full-on mime.
Did we ever figure out why there was a mime there?
I don't know. He wasn't talking. He was in character.
Oh, he was really in character the whole time.
He was in character.
Yeah, it's hard to find love if you can't speak, so.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better. Hey, sometimes that's preferred.
Some for some? Yeah.
This is true. But that was my first impression.
Okay.
Got over that. I end up, talking to like one. I talked to a few people, but some of them are those like, please don't come up to me. Please don't come up to me. One of them, I end up talking to him, get his number. We FaceTime the next day and he tells me that, I wasn't going to come up to you at first because of your face.
Huh?
Which,
need a little context, bro.
Yeah. What an odd way to say it. So after elaborating, he's like, yeah, you have like this look on your face. Like you don't want anyone to come up to you, which granted, like when I go out to the grocery store, I do have like a pretty like hefty RBF. So people don't come up to me.
That's so funny because I would never consider you as having RBF. No,
me either. No.
Well, thanks.
Maybe it's because you're at work. I don't know. Maybe.
Are you putting on the happy face because you're here at, at the crack of dawn?
Maybe, but like I think I do it intentionally at like the grocery store, but I didn't know I was doing it at this event. And he was like, yeah, I really was not going to come up to you. But as soon as we started talking, like it went away.
Well, it's to be fair, it could also be him overanalyzing things. Like, when you're looking at somebody across the bar and you're trying to decide whether or not it's safe to approach them or not. Like in his mind, he could be having the internal monologue of like, well, I can't tell if she's in a good mood or not. And I think guys, when they're really nervous, they think if you're not like grinning ear to ear, you're saying don't approach me. Whereas you're just out there living your life and they're overthinking it.
Yeah, and I'm like, he told me that. I'm like, do I need to start, like, is this why I'm single? Do I need to start walking around like with this creepy, like, please approach me face?
No, because
like,
then there's going to be a guy on another radio show being like, yeah, there's this psychopath walking around with this massive smile on her face.
Yeah, I'm like, is this why I'm single? Is it my face?
No. So obviously, I get it. Like if somebody makes a comment like that to me, it's going to get in my head a little bit. And I'm going to start wondering like what are strangers seeing when they look at my face when I'm not like actively, smiling or whatever. But I think all of us can attest that your face is fine.
Your face is fine. And it might not have been your face. It might have been your body language. And I know for me, I'm really guilty of this, where it's like, if you're out at a bar and you're just kind of hanging around a group of people, sometimes we forget how we can appear closed off, even if it doesn't feel like we're being that way because we're talking to our friends. But like, you know, if you're facing towards a table and maybe not out at the crowd, or you're maybe like hunched over a little bit, like gossiping with your friends, I think sometimes that subconsciously communicates to guys who are a little bit nervous that like maybe you're not ready to be approached.
I also feel like as a guy, if you do have a little bit of RBF, it's not a bad thing, because that kind of filters out a lot of the guys that you may not want to approach you in the first place. Like it normally is going to take a guy that has a bit of confidence in himself and feels like you're worth the approach. So I don't think it's a bad thing to have.
Now, after he said that about your face, are you still going to go out with him, or was that like a red flag deal breaker?
I would go out with him. I did mention like on our FaceTime call that one of my like red flag pet peeves is grammar, and I have caught a few grammar errors in the text. So I'm like, do I go out on a date? Is that a deal breaker? I don't know.
Like how? It's in text. So.
It's in text.
It's your wrong. What happened?
It's your and two, and that's like a big deal for
It's
me.
Always those. Me, it's always those.
It's always. He hasn't done the there yet.
Your and there, I feel like, are kind of like, okay, you can mess this up every now and then. To me, the two is the worst of all, because they're two very different meanings.
Yeah.
I feel like you got two strikes already. You kind of looking for the third at this point.
I honestly, from what it sounds like, it sounds like you're not into this guy, and you're just looking for excuses not to go out with him.
Well, I definitely can't send him this segment now.
No.
That wouldn't help.
All right, so I love that Atlanta has become a place for the movie industry because of the tax breaks. I know there's been a little bit of lull, I think, but they're starting to film movies again here in Georgia, Atlanta specifically. We have all these studios, and I think when actors come to Atlanta, they kind of fall in love with the state. And I think that's what's happened for Millie Bobby Brown. So I had no idea, because they did a lot of filming of Stranger Things here in Georgia, and I think she loved the state so much that she moved here.
Oh. Really?
So, yeah, she's living in Fayetteville. She actually bought a farm in Fayetteville. So she's on the cover of Vanity Fair for their March issue. And she was talking about her day-to-day rural life with her new husband, Jake Bongiovi, which is, that's
his name?
Yeah, because it's Bon Jovi's son.
Oh, okay.
But, like, the last name is Bongiovi.
That makes sense.
And so they are living on a Georgia farm. She takes care of sheep, goats, cows, donkeys. She has cats. She has dogs. And she says, I'm not doing it for the aesthetic. I'm doing it because I love it. And she was talking about like trad wives and that whole aesthetic on social media. She said, there are maybe some trad wives out there doing it because it seems wholesome, but it is not. If you're not picking up horse s or washing a cow with your bare hands, then that life is not made for you at all.
Oh my God.
True indeed.
I feel like when you live that astronomical of a life, like when you can fly off and go anywhere and be recognized anywhere, that there's a part of you that really just wants to get back to like your primal human roots. And that's like milking goats and getting eggs out at the farm and really feeling one with the earth. And I kind of feel like maybe there was a part of her that was craving that. And I think it's really cool that she felt so at home at Georgia, home in Georgia, that she decided to make her home here.
So yeah, if you see her walking around Fayetteville, that really is 11 from Stranger Things. So there you go.
Good for her.
Abby, you came across one of the most iconic best man speeches at a wedding.
I absolutely did. So I was scrolling through my TikTok For You page, and I'm currently looking for, oh, there it is. I found this hysterical best man speech where he decided to drop a truth bomb that I think everyone was either laughing because it was funny or laughing because they were very uncomfortable. This is from @byJoshandMare on TikTok.
I just noticed the connection they had, the laughs they shared together, the way they looked at each other. And you'd think it'd sound really romantic, but the only problem was I was dating Rachel at the time.
Mic drop. And the bride and groom, they took it like champs.
And I'm sure they've been joking about it for years, that they're like, we know that our guy is about to get up and say something silly, but I love that he took that final moment to be like, you know what? I was there first. I was there first.
Not really something the bride wants to hear at the wedding.
Not at all.
No.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Burt Show.
I've been convinced for some time now that there may be some bad energy or spirit trying to ruin my life.
Is it an ex?
It could be. It very well could be. I don't know who it is or what it is. But it's been a lot of little things taking place, and I think what happened last week put the cherry on top. So I came to y'all a while ago and said that my lady came to me and said that she believes that I should sage my place, sage my apartment.
Get out. She feels the ex in the room.
Maybe. Do some smudging, if you will. And I've never done it before. I've never thought to do it. Never even considered it.
So what are some of the things happening in your apartment that makes you think you have bad energy going on in there?
So, well, in her telling me to do it, it wasn't because she thought I had bad energy. It was just because she felt like, okay, you're going into a new chapter of your life. You're building a studio. You want nothing but positive energy and positive vibes to surround you as you start any new journey that you want to be proud of. And that made perfect sense to me. And a lot of the times you have people come in and out your home for whatever reasons, and maybe secretively, they don't have the best intentions for you. They may not be clapping for you. They may not want you to win, and you don't know. So she is a firm believer in, if that has happened or when that happens, at some point, if you want to start new, start afresh with a new positive energy, you should sage your place, smudge your place, if you will, to have new vibes, positive vibes. So I'm like, okay, I've never done it before, but let's do it. Why not? Can't hurt, right? Now, there has been, like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like maybe I'm exaggerating things, but the lights flicker quite often. Sometimes they just completely turn on and off on their own.
But you said your apartment complex deals with electricity issues, right?
It does.
Because your friend almost lost his life on a treadmill the other day.
Yeah, it's true. The power does go out. The lights do tend to do some tricky things. And I also have a lot of my electronics hooked up to Alexa. I'm sorry to everyone who has one. I know that just activated her. But so it could be that as well. So I don't really put too much in it. The only thing that has ever happened to me that I thought was the weirdest thing ever is I found one of my earrings in my bed, and the back was attached.
That is creepy.
That is so weird.
How the hell does that happen? Uh-huh. Right? Like that happened. And one of the outlets one time was unplugged, and it was like the outlet that's underneath my laptop and my desk, and I don't go under there. There's no reason for it to be unplugged. And I asked her if she did it. She's like, why would I do that? So those are the two things that had me really thinking, like, are there spirits in my house that's trying to mess with me? I don't know. But either way, it was enough to like, all right, I'll do the smudging thing. Let's do it. So she gets all of the materials that she feels like she's going to need. And she's like, light this, spray this, do that.
Say this. You opened a window to let the bad energy out, right?
I did. Okay. Opened a window, the whole nine. We ran through the whole, like, instructions. We did it the right way.
Because you never want to smudge with all the doors and windows closed, because then the bad energy has nowhere to go. So you either have to open a window, open a door or something, because as you smudge, it's all that bad stuff is supposed to be going out.
Yeah, that was the rule we had growing up about passing gas, too.
True indeed. So at the point where we get to, like, the final step, at first everything is going well, it's normal. It's cool. I'm actually starting to feel, like, you can almost feel it. I don't know if I'm making this up, but I can almost feel the bad energy just seeping out, right? And I'm starting to get excited about this. Like, all right, I feel good about this. And right as we light, I don't even know what you call them. What do you call the thing?
The sage stick?
Yes. As soon as we light the two sage sticks, and I am supposed to, she's showing me what to do. Like, go around the apartment. Instantly, soon as I do it, the fire alarm goes off. And everyone has to leave the building. So I had to stop. I had to stop mid-smudge in order to leave the apartment, and I didn't get to finish the process. And at that point, I was like, whatever this is that I'm attempting to smudge is winning. It is winning, and it is choosing violence, and I don't know how to get this bad energy away from me, because every single time I do something to try to get rid of it, it just has a plan. It has a trick up its sleeve, and it forces me to have to restart the entire process.
You triggered Abby just by saying fire alarm.
Yeah, I think I have the same spirit at my apartment complex, because the alarm has gone off so many times this year.
So you guys were doing two sticks at once?
No, so according to her, we were supposed to do one and in one room and then one in another room.
Okay, and how much was the smoke billowing out of the sage stick?
It wasn't a lot, okay. But it was enough.
Huh.
Why you say, you think that actually caused it?
Yes, of course. The smoke from the sage caused the fire.
It wasn't that much.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
My apartment's alarms, I don't know if it's just an apartment complex thing, is so sensitive that like if I cook chicken a little too long, my alarm will start going beep, beep, beep. Hey, just letting you know there's a lot of smoke in here.
See, there's been times when I'm cooking or we're cooking something and it's way more fire. And the alarm it'll be beep. It'll let you know okay, warning. And then if you don't go over there and handle it, then it'll start going crazy. But normally it'll beep, beep first.
And I haven't done apartment living in forever. So you'll get a notice in your unit before it goes over the entire complex.
Yes. Exactly.
And so you say here, as you were doing it, you never got notification in the unit that, hey, you got some smoke going on. Instead, it was just the general fire alarm.
It was the entire building. So the entire building had to exit, as opposed to it just would have been my apartment if I caused it.
Y'all didn't walk out with those sage sticks, did you?
Nah, not for those. You gotta leave those upstairs.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Justin Baldoni's lawyer, Brian Friedman, is responding to that joke that Ryan Reynolds made during SNL's 50th anniversary special. So if you missed this, Ryan Reynolds was a part of the Q&A portion for SNL 50, where he kind of made light of the situation where Amy Poehler and Tina Fey called him up to ask a question or whatever. And of course, it's like a joke question. It's supposed to be funny. And they ask him how he's doing. And he goes, yeah, I'm doing great. Why? What have you heard? And people felt like that was a little insensitive to show out to a red carpet event when you've got this very intense lawsuit happening. So Brian Friedman, Justin Baldoni's attorney, went on Billy Bush's podcast, Hot Mics with Billy Bush. And when he was asked about how he feels about Ryan Reynolds' response, this is what he said.
What did you think when you saw, Ryan, make light of the situation, I guess, try to find some humor in all this?
I'm unaware of anybody, frankly, whose wife has been sexually harassed and has made jokes about that type of situation. I can't think of anyone who's done anything like that. And it surprised me.
All right. So I am torn here, because whenever I've gone through a dark period in my life, I look to levity, I look to comedy for some sense of relief. And I know it has been very intense with what's going on with Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni. The accusations are when you involve sexual harassment, that's not an allegation you take lightly. I get all that. So I'm torn a little bit, because while I do agree with what Justin's lawyer is saying, I do know in my personal life, I have made, crack jokes about things that are happening to me, because I mean, it is happening to them. And so it makes me wonder, was it in poor taste, or is it just how people deal with really heavy things going on in their life? Or is it just in poor taste because it was done publicly?
I think people have a problem with how public it is, because it's this big red carpet event. Blake Lively is decked out in this stunning silver dress and, they're smiling. And I think that's really more of what feels tone deaf to people.
It felt fake.
Is the nature of the event. Yeah, I mean, and I understand wanting to make light of the situation. This situation personally didn't bother me, but I also understand where people are coming from, where it's like, this is a lawsuit that is going to ruin somebody's career. It's either going to be Justin Baldoni's career or their career. And so I get wanting to make light of it. And it's also really good from a PR standpoint. But it's really tough to sit there and watch all of this happening, knowing what we're about to deal in the courts in about a year.
I get exactly what you're saying, because as I'm thinking about it, I make a lot of light of dark times to get through them,
right?
As well, when things happen to me. I think in his case, maybe it's two things. It's the public, it's doing it in public, and it's the reach of how many people are invested in it and then how many people can be affected by it, that maybe when something is affecting or can affect that many people, maybe you should think twice before you make light of it in a public setting.
I also found out that Ryan Reynolds was behind that joke. Actually, the SNL writers, one of them went on an Australian radio show where they did an interview about that situation. And the writer that was on there said that they had a completely different joke written for Ryan Reynolds, but Ryan was the one that actually pitched that. And the reason for that was the SNL writers were like, listen, like, we didn't want to touch the controversy with the 10-foot pole, like, unless somebody's in on the joke. So Ryan was actually the one to make that that joke about him being like, what have you heard? Which, to your point, like, might be him just trying to lighten the situation, like, poke at the elephant in the room rather than showing up and having everyone kind of dart their eyes at them and be like, can we talk about it? Can we say anything about it? Like, are we going to acknowledge it or not?
Yeah, because, like, the more I thought about it, because, you know, we've talked about this a couple of times, because obviously this is, like, such huge news. And I kind of feel bad for SNL 50 because I feel like, you know, some of their sparkle got stolen because of all this drama.
Oh no, this is great press for them.
Yeah. They're eating it SNL, up. Yeah. You know what? True. I take that back. You're right. So when I first saw it, I was like, you know, poor taste, tone deaf, crass. But then I really sat and I was like, I have cracked jokes on the air about dark things in my life. And I feel like that's what they're doing here. And I don't begrudge anybody doing that, because you all deal with, everybody deals with the situation differently. Obviously, the impact, they're going to have a far more impact on more people than we do with the mics that we have. But regardless, I was like, am I offended? I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe.
Do you think y'all would have received it differently if Blake made the joke instead of Ryan?
Oh, that is a good question.
But then it's right. Deeper. Like, do we feel that way because she's a woman? Is that, like, internalized misogyny coming out?
Huh.
I don't know. I do think Ryan does have better comedic timing. Yes. I think when he makes jokes, it passes a little bit better.
Well, also, too, all of the jokes. Now, Blake Lively is just getting, she's getting dragged right now. Every single interview she's ever done is coming back to surface and people are picking it apart. Mm-hmm. And she does like to crack jokes, but her jokes are not received well. And I don't know if this is like a misogyny type of thing where a guy can crack a joke and it's like, ha ha ha, a woman cracks the same joke and they're like, who does she think she is? She's being a bean. She's just hiding it with a joke. I think all of that can be true. So I actually think if Blake would have made that joke, it would have gone over even worse than what Ryan did.
I think she also wants to stay out of the press a little bit too, because now people are saying that she's having some issues with Taylor Swift, which I didn't believe until I found out, according to a source, Taylor had been invited to SNL 50 and didn't show up. And a lot of people think that's a sign that she's trying to distance herself from Blake Lively. But we're not done talking about Blake yet, because she did add a couple of things to her lawsuit. She amended it to talk about two specific things that might actually be the nail in the coffin for Justin Baldoni. I'm going to tell you what those are on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.